communication skills in the workplace are important for everyone, but women can feel some extra pressure, especially when it comes to being nice. Be too nice and you risk not being taken seriously. Be too assertive, you could be seen as unpleasant or alienating. At least that's the conventional wisdom. Our next guest has spent decades working with women on how to advance in the workplace and has lots of suggestions on how to navigate around the nice. Lois Frankel is an author, consultant, and expert on leadership development for women. Her books include See Jane Lead and Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. Lois, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Lois, I spelled it out a little there, but give us more detail on this double standard, this double bind of nice for women.
Yeah, you know, everyone has to be nice. Nice is necessary for success, but it's not sufficient. And if you think of it on a continuum from really nasty to overly nice, right? You know, at one end of the continuum, you have somebody like Sally Field. I mean, she's the quintessential nice girl, right? And then the other end of the continuum, you might have somebody like Leona Helmsley, who is the Queen of Mean. And so you can't be at either end of the continuum and really make your voice heard and your point known effectively. You've got to be able to incorporate little elements of both and find this place for yourself in the middle.
Do men face this at all or anywhere near as much as women do?
Nowhere near as much. For men, they could be as assertive as they like, and they're not going to get called out of bounds. For women, when they communicate in the exact same way that a man may communicate, exactly the same, she'll get called pushy or, you know, the dreaded B word or strident, and he'll get called assertive. And we see this happen over and over and over again in all industries across the board.
Yeah, talk about what happens for a woman in a workplace who just goes all in on just being nice. How do people see her?
As a doormat, as a pushover. If you're always nice, people won't take you seriously. Because if you're always nice, it means you're not making the tough calls when they need to be made as well. And you're not having the difficult conversations that have to be had, those kinds of things. And you let people walk all over you and you don't say anything. So, you know, if you're at the Sally Field end of the continuum, you know, when you get an award, you're saying things like, you like me, you really like me, which really detracts from your credibility.
Talking to Lois Frankel, author of books including Nice Girls, Still Don't Get the Corner Office, about the nice conundrum for women in the workplace. Well, Lois, let's talk about a situation. A woman wants to make the case for her, say, idea, her pitch in the workplace. How does she steer the shoals between nice and, you know, being called, as you said, the B word?
Yeah, what a woman needs to do, and, you know, I have a new book coming out on this, by the way, which is Nice Girls Don't Speak Up or Stand Out, because that's really what the issue is. And so in the book, I really talk to women about how you need to develop a skill set that allows you to tell people to go to hell so they look forward to the trip. Because really, that's the challenge that a woman has, is that she needs to say it in such a way that it's palatable. So there's a couple things she can do. First of all, you know, I always say relationships are the WD-40 of being able to communicate powerfully for women, that it greases the skids. And that it's if you have a relation built with someone, they are more likely to listen to what you say non-defensively. So that's number one. Number two is being able to communicate your message in non-emotional but factual terms, right? Rather than say, you know, I've worked really hard and I really deserve a raise. That's really not going to work for you. It needs to be factual. It needs to be something along the lines of, you know, I've been here now for a year, and when I started, I was told that if I met all my goals, I would get a raise within the year. And I'm wondering when this is going to happen. Okay, that's one thing you can do. Another thing for women who are a little bit more hesitant to want to do that, there's a technique that's called contrasting. And it's contrasting what you do want, you don't want. And again, guys don't have to do this, which is really, you know, it's not fair, but it is how it is. I always say to people, don't shoot the messenger. You know, I'm just kind of explaining the rules. I don't make them. But contrasting. And contrasting is when I say what I do want and I don't want. So it might be, You know, I don't want you to think I'm not grateful for everything that you've done for me, because I am. At the same time, when I started, I was told that I'd get a raise within a year, and we're at the year mark, and I'd like to talk about how to make that happen. So you can hear, I'm being direct and straightforward, but at the same time, I'm being nice.
Another piece of advice you've given is that women should not ask permission when they don't need to. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, women tend to ask permission far more than men. And what I mean is that it's better to ask forgiveness than to ask permission. If you have an idea, there's a couple things you could do, you know, or if there's something that you want to do, you can just go ahead and do it. And then if someone says, well, wait a minute, we didn't talk about this, you can kind of feign surprise, right? Like, oh, you know, this is consistent with our goals. I had no idea that it might ruffle some feathers. Sure, let's talk about it. That's without apologizing, if you notice. Or the other thing you can do is inform. And so rather than ask permission, say, you know, I would just like to tell you that I plan to do XYZ. And if there's any problems with that, you can let me know. And move forward.
You just mentioned apologizing, and I assume this is something you may have talked about. This gets talked about a lot, whether women are too quick to apologize, even when there's not really a subject of the apology.
Oh, yes. We apologize for everything, don't we? It's like we over-apologize. And again, what I talk about is the fact that women need to understand that we expect children in our society to apologize. Now, if you do something egregiously wrong, of course I would expect you to apologize. If you're a consultant and you did something with a client that was really uncalled for or unnecessary, of course you'd apologize. But most situations, it's enough to be able to say, oh, I had no idea that this wasn't how you wanted it, or, oh, look at this, didn't quite come out the way I wanted. Let me think about how I can redo this. So it's more about reframing it than about apologizing for it. If it's a little bit bigger mistake, what people really want to know is that you learned from it. And so being able to say, boy, did I learn a lesson from this. Here's what I won't do again next time. But again, not apologizing.
You've been working on these issues for a while now, Lois. Have you seen any change in workplace culture? Are things getting a little more even for women on these expectations?
You know, I think things are moving at glacial speed. Because, yes, I've been working in this arena for quite a few years, probably close to 40 years. And some of the things we talked about 40 years ago, I am still talking about. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is I see a younger generation of women who have higher expectations for the workforce, who come into the workforce expecting that there's going to be more equality, that the playing field is going to be even, that they're going to be able to say the same things as men and not get called names. So they're coming in with that expectation, which people my generation and even the generation after didn't come in with. So we are seeing that change, and then that's forcing some change. But it's still not happening very quickly, because young women in their 20s are still talking to me about them not getting the corner office. They're talking about the book, and they're talking about how in the book things apply to them. And they're in their 20s. So glacial speed is what it is.
We're talking about women and niceness in the workplace with Lois Frankel, author of books including See Jane Lead and Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a woman, have you felt niceness being a balancing act of sorts at work? Do you have your own personal strategy for striking that balance from people seeing you as too nice and a doormat, or too assertive and unlikable, I guess? Do you worry about being seen as too aggressive? If you're anyone in a workplace, what have you seen where you work? Are things getting better from your perspective? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Lois Frankel, author and expert in leadership development for women. Her many books include Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. We're talking about a balancing act women can face over how nice to be at work versus how assertive. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a woman, have you felt a push and pull in your job over being either too nice or too assertive or maybe both at the same time somehow? Do you opt for one or the other? Have you found a balance? What communication strategies do you use in your work that you think men might not have to consider using themselves? Do you have questions for our guest, too, about maybe a situation you've faced in the workplace? You can call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Lois, I want to lay out another scenario that you hear about from time to time. A woman offers idea, maybe in a meeting. Nobody really hears it or pays attention to it. Somebody else, maybe a guy, gives the same idea. Then there's a response and a conversation. The woman in that situation, how can she deal with that?
Yeah, we call that bropriating. When a man appropriates, it's usually a man, appropriates an idea as his own. And there's one thing you can do before, and there's one thing that you can do after it happens. The before is something that's called amplification, that you need to get the rest of the women in your office to amplify each other's ideas in meetings. So that if we're sitting around and I put an idea out, another woman might say, hey, Lois, I think that that's a great idea. I think we should, you know, do it because whatever. Now it's almost impossible for someone to appropriate that idea from me. So that's what women should be doing for each other. Now, let's say you're not doing that and it happens in a meeting. A woman has to practice doing this and she needs to be able to do it right off the cuff and with a smile on her face. So let's just say, Rob, you took one of my ideas at a meeting. What I might say when you're finished talking is, oh, Rob, thank you so much for coming back to my idea. In fact, it made me think I'd like to add a little bit to it. Now, again, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek, and it's very nice, but I've made it clear that it was my idea.
So, Lois, I had this idea where a woman could speak up after the man steals the... Oh, no, wait, I'm doing it now. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, oh, thanks so much for coming back to my idea, Rob.
Exactly. Okay, we demonstrated there. Now, is there something that this is, you're focusing on the women here because they're dealing with these realities. Are there structural things you think we could be doing at workplaces so that women don't have to do this balancing act?
Yeah, you know, I think leaders, both female and male leaders, both need to make sure that the playing field is even. And they need to look at their own biases. And I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, bias training, because I don't really think that helps in the long run. But rather, really just each of us taking a look at our own behaviors towards women and how we treat them. So, for example, in a meeting, if I was a leader and I noticed that the women were speaking up less than the men, which is almost always the case, I'd say, let's hold on a minute. We haven't heard from everybody. I want to make sure we get all the ideas on the table. Or if, as a leader, I see somebody steal someone else's idea, being able to say, you know, Rob, I'm really glad that you followed up on Lois's idea because I thought it was a good one too. So we really need leaders who are going to start doing some of that for the women in their workplace.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Brenda is with us in Grafton. Brenda, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Brenda?
I wanted to say that it can be very difficult to be a woman in the workplace, and especially as an executive. And it depends on where you are in the United States, because women do, I believe, have to adjust their personality depending on if they're in New York, San Francisco, or even, say, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And anytime a woman speaks up, sadly, they're immediately characterized as aggressive, perhaps bullying, and many other words are used. And that really hurts us. And it hurts us from being able to grow. And I've worked with, I've been fortunate enough to make it in the top 1% and have been the only female sitting at the table in board meetings. And it's amazing if you speak up, how you're referred to differently than if a man speaks up.
Brenda, thanks a lot for the call. Lois, what do we lose if we're keeping people from Brenda from getting that seat at the table and speaking up in the first place?
Yeah, Brenda brings up a couple of good points, and let me speak to something she said, and then I'll answer your question. She talked about regional differences, and absolutely true. There's not only regional differences, but I think women need to understand that the workplace is a playing field. There's rules, boundaries, and strategies, and those rules, boundaries, and strategies are different for men and women, as she's already found, and she's already actually played well because she became an executive. But those rules, boundaries, and strategies, as she said, change regionally, and they change from company to company. So what might work for Brenda in Wisconsin, at a company in Wisconsin, let's just say she works for Oshkosh, what may work there, if she came to Los Angeles and worked at Warner Brothers Films, the exact same behavior that was successful might not work. And so it's important to get the lay of the land and understand the rules of your playing field. That's critical. Going back to your question about what do we lose when women's voices aren't at the table, we lose a whole lot because what we know is that in diversity, and whether that's diversity in gender, whether it's diversity in race, experience, whatever it is, in diversity, there is much more of an abundance of good ideas than when we're only hearing it from one type of person. If we hear it from all white males, for example, the idea might be great, but if you add in people who see the world differently, who have a different lens on the world, you are going to get exponentially better results. And that is shown. It has been shown in studies that the most diverse workplaces often have the most, the greatest return on investment.
Brenda, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We're talking to Lois Frankel. Her books include Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office, talking about challenges for women over being nice and being assertive in the workplace. Back to your calls now. Andrew is with us in Port Washington. Andrew, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Andrew?
So I think... My interpretation on this is that the onus for change should not be put on the marginalized population. I think it's important for men to make the space for women so they don't have to walk this balancing beam between being nice and being assertive. I think that men have the privilege to do that, and it's our job to make that space so that women can be themselves and provide that women's perspective that we need in our workplace.
Andrew, thanks for the call. Lois, what do you think?
Yeah, Andrew, thank you. I'm giving you a mental high five. I hope you see it. because, you know, although it's interesting what you're saying, I'm not suggesting that the onus is on men at all. Because I really believe there, and that's the whole purpose of Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. The subtitle is Unconscious Mistakes Women Make That Sabotage Their Careers. So my message to women is, before you point a finger at men, make sure you are doing what you need to do to be taken seriously. So there are, and that's why it's called Nice Girls, because you can't act like the nice little girl you were taught to be in childhood and expect to achieve your adult goals. Certainly Brenda wasn't able to do that. She became an adult woman. So then, yes, once you make sure you're doing that, then I also like to bring men to the table and say, yes, if you have privilege, then with that privilege comes responsibility. And the responsibility that comes with that is to be inclusive in all ways. And it's about women, it's people of color, it's LGBT, the LGBTQ community, whatever it is, that with that inclusivity, we see exponentially better results.
Thanks for the call, Andrew. Rena joins us now in Franklin. Rena, hi.
Hi. I haven't heard anything about the Ginger Rogers principle. You know, she did everything that Fred Astaire did, except backwards and in high heels.
Yeah, that's true. I can't say any more than that, and you're absolutely right. What do you think of that, though?
Well, I am in my mid-60s. I'm about to retire. And, oh, boy, even when you do everything and they respect you for your abilities and your intelligence, and yet they resent you for your abilities and your intelligence. And, you know, it has changed since the 70s, but there's a lot of resentful guys out there.
Rena, thanks for the call. So even if you do things right, Rena says people might resent you, Lois.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why it's so important to have those relationships in place. If you notice, that's what I started with, because it's a lot harder to resent you when people like you. And likability is an important ingredient for success for both men and women. Right, we have a very, very scientific test in our office, and it's called the beer test. And when I meet you, would I like to go out and have a beer, a cup of coffee, or a glass of wine with you? And if the answer is no, you fail the likability test, because likability is so incredibly important to your success. And that's true for both men and for women. Also, Rena brought up something important, which is it's not the people who accomplish the most or are the smartest or are the best educated, they're not always the ones who get the furthest. They're not always the ones who are getting promoted. It's the ones who have relationships in place, who add value by giving their opinion. You know, I can't tell you how many people that I've coached, and they were sent to me for coaching because people said, I know they're really bright, but they're not adding any value because they won't disagree with me. They won't argue. You know, they'll never bring up a diverse opinion, even though they have them. And that's often because they're afraid of people in authority. But you need to make sure that it's like a 360-degree process being successful in the workplace.
Rena, thanks for that call. And Lois, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Rob, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
That's Lois Frankel, author, consultant, and expert on leadership development for women. Her books include See Jane Lead and Nice Girls Still Don't Get the Corner Office. She talked with us about pressures women can face over being nice in the workplace.